بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. We are taught in light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the advices of our pious predecessors that as we will live our life in this dunya, that is how death will come to us. So in essence, this entire life is a preparation. This entire life is a preparation for those final moments. And how we will leave this dunya is how we will be judged ultimately on the day of Qiyamah. So if a person spends his life like we are taught by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he leads a generally upright and clean life, then death also will come to him in a good way, in a good condition. And inshallah, a person like that is successful. The ultimate is for us to leave this dunya with the kalima La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah on our tongues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couples the mention of death and sleep in Quran. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that takes the souls that die and those that do not die but merely go to sleep. Sleep is referred to as akhul maut, the brother of death. In other words, it's one form of death. It's a condition that is close to death, similar to death. Like the soul leaves the body when a person dies, it leaves the body completely and totally. There is a partial separation when a person goes to sleep. There's a partial separation between his soul and his body. So therefore Allah says, He is the one that takes the souls of those that don't die and merely go to sleep. And if we inspect the sunnah way of going to sleep, we find that this in actual fact is a training and a preparation for death. The sunnah, among the many sunnahs of going to sleep, is for example, a person should sleep in the state of wudu. And we discussed on the 21st night also the great benefit that a person sleeps with wudu, and there are multiple benefits. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Tahhiru ajsadakum taharakumullah." O tahhiru hadhihi al-ajsad taharakumullah. Purify your bodies and Allah will purify you. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ بَاتَ طَاهِرًا إِلَّا بَاتَ مَعَهُ فِي شِعَارِهِ مَلَكٌ. When a person sleeps in the state of wudu, he sleeps in the state of purity and tahara, then an angel sleeps with him on his bed. And every time he turns on his bed, you know, when it's time to fall asleep or his sleep is disturbed during the night, then that angel makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. Allahumma ighfir li 'abdika hadha fa innahu bata 'ala taharatin. Oh Allah, forgive this slave of yours because he went to bed with wudu. He is sleeping in the state of tahara and purity. Now imagine on a night that could potentially be Laylatul Qadr and a person goes to sleep with wudu and whole night he's got the angel as, you know, he's tossing and turning, trying to fall asleep, the angel is making dua for him. During the night his sleep is disturbed, the angel is making dua for him. Dua for his maghfirat and his forgiveness. What a great benefit and reward and virtue for sleeping in the state of wudu. Similarly, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, and this is also reported by other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that when a person goes to sleep in a state of wudu, whoever it may be, his soul goes up to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like mentioned in this verse, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus. Allah is the one who takes the souls of those who go to sleep as well. So those souls go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. And those people who slept in the state of wudu, only their souls are allowed thereafter the great privilege of making sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who went to bed without wudu, then their souls are stopped and prevented from this honor of bowing down and making sajda at the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the benefits of sleeping with wudu Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentions that when a person sleeps with wudu, then his dreams are better and are closer to being true. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, in his lessons on Bukhari Sharif, also mentions, he says, people who suffer from nightmares, they have this habit of always seeing nightmares, then they should ensure to sleep with wudu. This inshallah will save you and protect you from having bad dreams and having nightmares. Anyway, this is a sunnah to go to bed with wudu. When a person passes away and he dies, then we also have to wash his body. We make wudu for him and we give him a complete ghusl. When we go to bed, we are taught to lie down on the right hand side and face the qibla, preferably, as is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person is buried and put in his grave, then he is put on his right hand side and he is made to face the qibla. As we said, before passing away, the ultimate and the dua and the hope of every Muslim is to pass away with the shahada on his lips, to recite the kalima before passing away. We are taught as young children, our parents or our mothers would remind us that read your kalimas before you go to sleep. Because if you don't open your eye again, at least you left this dunya with the kalima. So this going to sleep in actual fact is training us for that ultimate end, when a person's soul will be taken completely from his body and will never be returned. Therefore, it is essential that we ensure to sleep according to the sunnah. If a person goes to sleep every night following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is also one great method of preparing for his death. And this is what we have been taught, to read your du'as. There are surahs to recite also, and other du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite before going to bed, to make wudu, to lie down on the right hand side as best as possible. The bed should be facing qibla. Person following this routine every night, inshallah, his maut also and his dafan and kafan also will follow suit. Let us inspect in our lives, what is happening before we go to sleep? How do we go to sleep? Do we make wudu and go to bed? Are we sleeping in the state of tahara? And what is the last thing that we are doing? What is the last thing that we are engaging in before closing our eyes every night? Because the time is going to come when we are going to close our eyes and it's not going to open. And if daily we have this habit, daily the last thing we are doing before closing our eyes is some act of ibadah, following the sunnah like was discussed, reciting the du'as before going to bed, etc., then inshallah the last thing we will do ultimately in our lives will be practicing on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if the last thing we are doing every night, sadly, is wasting time on the internet, is browsing our phones and going through different news articles and news items, and then watching some movie or looking at some clip, Wallah forbid us and Allah protect us, looking and viewing pornography, and that is the last thing a person is doing before he is closing his eyes, then how can we expect maut to come to us? How will maut come to a person who every night sleeps like this? That his last thing is that he watched some movie on his television. Now there are television screens in every room also. And if not, then we have it in our pockets. So on the phone he's viewing something, whether it be on YouTube, whether it be on TikTok, whether it be on other such platforms, or whether it be a general, some movie clip or some movie he's watching to pass his time before he sleeps. Or he's listening to music. Or he's watching something else that is haram. And that is the last thing. You know, he's using that to tire himself and so that he may be able to close his eyes and fall asleep. How sad, how pitiful will be the end of a person like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Today, unfortunately, zina, haram, pornography, things like these have been made easily available for everyone. This is among the greatest of challenges we have today. To look at haram and thereafter engage in haram has been made absolutely easy. And it goes in stages and phases. First, the thought comes to a person. And then he looks at haram. And then the urge comes within him to physically commit the haram. So this is a challenge that many of us are facing today, the young and the old. How do we practice restraint? And most of the time this is happening in the darkness of the night, before going to bed, before sleeping. So if we apply our minds, take out some time and ponder over this, that what are we doing here? This is actually my rehearsal for my final moments in the dunya. If this is how I want to rehearse for my death, by looking at things like this, by interacting with people and talking to people which is forbidden for me to interact with, or looking at things that are forbidden for me to look at, this is ultimately a rehearsal for our death. So firstly, we should take our time, inspect how are we going to bed at night, and immediately make this change and bring into our routine the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you can't fall asleep, you have this habit that you have to read something, you have to listen to something, then make that something be the knowledge of deen. Let it be some bayan, let it be some words of advice from some pious person that you are listening to, let it be some qiraat and recitation of Quran. Put that in your ears and fall asleep like that. Or some nazam. If you have to read something, let it be reading, again, knowledge of deen. There are so many Islamic websites and reliable websites. Read a kitab before you go to sleep. Let that be the last thing. So that inshallah, when maut comes to us also, the last thing we will do will be something like this. An act of ibadah, an act of obedience. And mashallah, so many people leave this dunya till this day. It's not something far-fetched. It's not something that could only happen to the saints of the past. Till this day and age, there are people who gave their lives while out in gush in a path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people whose lives and souls left their bodies whilst they were in sajda. There are people whose lives left them while they were engaged in tilawat of Quran, or they discompleted tilawat of Quran and then they passed away. There were people who woke up for tahajjud and were preparing for their tahajjud salah, or preparing to leave and come to the masjid for fajr salah, and that is how they passed away. So the opportunity is there. There's equal opportunity for everyone to earn that kind of a maut. And that is ultimately what we all are waiting for. A mubarak maut and a mubarak death. On one occasion, a youngster came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And being young, generally you have more desire, more urge in yourself for haram. So he came and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, i'dhan li bizzina. Give me permission to commit zina." Today, many people have this urge to fall into this haram and this wrong because of the environment and the way things are going nowadays. Yes, we may not go and ask someone for permission to go and commit the zina, but that urge, that thought, that feeling, the temptation, the opportunity may present itself. This hadith and incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam serves as a great inspiration for all of us. And should be something that we should resonate with ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first he reasons with the sahabi, and then he makes a dua for the sahabi. So how he begins to reason with the sahabi, he tells him, "O young man, atuhibbu li ummik? Do you like that somebody commits zina with your mother, or your own mother?" He says, "La wallahi ya Rasulullah. No, but the qasam of Allah, I don't want, obviously, somebody to commit zina with my own mother." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, وَلَنَّاسُ يُحِبُّونَهُ لِأُمَّهَاتِهِمْ. The people also don't like that zina be committed with somebody, with their mothers. The zina you are going to commit might be, the woman with whom you are going to commit zina might be the mother of someone. So just as you don't like somebody commit zina with your own mother, think about that person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asks him further, "Atuhibbuhu libnatik? Would you want that somebody commit zina with your own daughter?" "La wallahi ya Rasulullah." "No, definitely, O Messenger of Allah." Again, Rasulullah then tells him, "Walannasu yuhibbunahu libanatihim." Neither do the people want that others commit zina with their daughters, and the woman you might be committing zina with is potentially somebody else's daughter. So think about them, like you don't like it, they also don't like it. And like that, Rasulullah reasoned with him, that would you like somebody to commit zina with your sister, with your aunt? And each time, obviously, he replied in the negative. So Rasulullah said, then tells him, that what about the rest of the community? They also don't want that somebody commits zina with their mother or their daughter or their sister or their aunt. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, come closer. And he makes dua for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma tahhir qalba. Allahumma ghfir dhamba. Oh Allah, forgive his sin. Wa tahhir qalba. And purify his heart. Wa hassin farja. And protect his chastity. Three du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for him. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith, says that this youngster thereafter, maltafata ila shay'in ba'da dhalik. He never paid any attention to any such temptation thereafter. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a logical explanation for why this is wrong. He reasoned with him and he made du'a for him, and that had that effect on him that thereafter he never paid any attention to any of these wrongs. This is also something we should ponder over. When a person who has the addiction to looking at haram and pornography, a person who has repeated urges for committing haram, zina, or interacting with women, etc., wrongfully, should ponder over this. That firstly, would we, na'uzu billah, save us, want to see our own mothers engage in pornography, our own sisters, our own daughters, our own aunts, our own family? No. Then how is it that we are happy to see others, the aunt or the daughter or the sister of somebody else in that? What led them to that, what forced them into that situation is a separate issue. But let us ponder over this and make this dua. A person who has this issue, has this problem, make the dua. Allahumma, Allahumma ghfir dhambi. Oh Allah, forgive my sin. The sin of thinking of doing haram, the sin of indulging in this haram and looking at haram, and that urge being created within me. Allahumma ghfir dhambi wa tahhir qalbi. And oh Allah, purify my heart. This hadith draws our attention to something very, very important. A lot of the time, our aql and our intellect will tell us this is wrong. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the intellect of that man first. He addressed his aql, he reasoned with him. Because the aql quickly will understand. So a lot of the time a person may be committing zina or any other wrong, any other sin it may be. And he knows what he's doing is wrong. Then why is it that he can't stop himself? Every time he's engaging in that wrong, or after he completes that wrong, that sin, then he, you know, he feels bad about it. Or while he is engaged in it, he is telling himself that this is wrong. But he can't stop himself. So that is because his heart is not clean. The mind may be clean. The aql is sound and his intellect is clear. And that is why that is trying to stop him, and that is telling him that this is wrong what you are doing. But our limbs will follow what is in the heart and not necessarily what is in the mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith mentions, in ala inna fil jasadi la mudgha. There is that piece of flesh in the body. That if that is correct, if that is rectified, then the entire body will be correct. Whatever other deeds will come out of your body will be correct and good. But if that is fasid, that is spoiled, that is messed up, then whatever else you will do also will be messed up and fasid and wrong and bad. And that is the heart. So in this hadith, in this dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua firstly that, oh Allah, forgive his sin. And secondly, cleanse his heart. This is the important part, respected friends and elders. And to cleanse the heart, this dua, inshallah, is one method of protecting ourselves from the wrong. But cleansing the heart is a long effort. Cleansing the heart will come when we sit in the company of those who have clean hearts. Cleansing the heart will come when we speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will clean the heart. Cleaning the heart will take place when we make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we are often encouraged morning and evening to recite the tasbihat or the different forms of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr of Allah is the polish of the heart. That is what will clean the heart. The heart will be cleaned when we recite Quran, make tilawat of Quran. That will clean and cleanse our heart. These are a'mal and deeds that we ought to do whether we are engaged in wrong or not. Make the dhikr of Allah, recite Quran, keep to good company, give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speak about the greatness of Allah. These are things we ought to be engaged in all the time. But if we have this issue of the falling to temptation, becoming victim of temptation, then we have to increase this and ensure and check and inspect in our lives. Am I making tilawat of Quran? Am I making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or in essence, am I making an effort to clean my heart? Because that is what is leading me on to all of this wrong. So we should make a habit to recite this dua, Allahumma ghafir dhambi, O Allah, forgive my sin. Wa tahhir qalbi, and clean my heart. Wa hassin farji, and O Allah, protect my chastity. Inshallah, by repeatedly making this dua and making that effort to clean the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq of coming out of that wrong that we may be engaged in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq of changing our ways. And the heart eventually will be clean. And we will find enjoyment where Allah has truly kept enjoyment. And that is the real enjoyment in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. You know, when a person is leaving his hometown, or maybe when death is near, then many things pass by his mind. You know, opportunities that he had in his life, things that he's going to miss, maybe a certain type of food in his hometown, he's not going to get it where he's going, far away. His friends, and other things that he would like to engage in, he begins to think of that and he begins to miss that. That now I'm going to miss out on all these things. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had enjoyed the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that when maut and death drew near, they began to cry, not out of the fear of death. Several Sahaba had mentioned similar statements, that we are not crying because we are scared to die, but we are crying because the time has expired now. No more I'm going to be able to get that enjoyment of standing up in tahajjud salat at night. No more I'm going to get the enjoyment, the opportunity of enjoying fasting on a hot day, experiencing that thirst and hunger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That enjoyment I'm crying over, that I'm going to miss that. No more I'm going to get the chance of sitting in the halqa of ilm, halqa of ta'aleem, sitting and benefiting from the ulama. Now that I'm going to leave this dunya, I'm going to be deprived of that enjoyment, of that action. They found such enjoyment in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, respected friends and allies, all of us, we have equal opportunity to achieve the exact same. And I mentioned this previously as well, that in dunya, you don't have equal opportunity. In things of the dunya, it's a rat race, it's a competition. Everybody tries, and there's a very select few that become the Steve Jobs of their era. There's a very select few that become the Elon Musks of their era. There are very select few that become, you know, the superstars in sports, etc. of their era. Millions of children throughout the globe attend football academies, soccer academies, millions of children. How many of them make it to the top? How many become, you know, the best goal scorer of their generation? How many become the best goalkeeper of their generation? It's one or two per decade. And in that decade, there were millions that tried. Millions. But indeed, respected friends and elders, whoever will try will get. مَنْ خَافَ أَدْلَجَ وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ Whoever will do it will reach his end, will reach the goal. The hadith says you will read one harf of Quran, you will get 10 rewards. Whoever it may be, wherever he may be, if he recites that, he is guaranteed his 10 rewards. Whoever will follow the sunnah will get this particular reward and virtue and merit. This applies not only for sahaba. This is not only for the tabi'un, not only for the very seniors and the very saintly and pious. This is for everyone, people like me and you also. If you will do it, we will achieve it inshallah. So this is equal opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us when it comes to our deen. The pathway to Jannah is clear. And whoever will take that path, whoever will enter the academy of Jannah and follow that path inshallah, inshallah will ultimately get his Jannah. But those who enter the football academies of this dunya, majority of them don't reach their goal. Don't reach their goal, their aim and goal by scoring their goals. So by making this effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to cleanse our hearts. Then we will find solace, we will find peace, we will find enjoyment in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the sahaba, tabi'un and the pious experience. So we were saying that this is something that even we can achieve. So that when the time comes and Allah save us and protect us, sometimes a person who is always in the masjid, he falls ill and he can't come to the masjid. Go and visit him and see how it pains him. It doesn't pain him so much that he can't go to work, or he can't, you know, do other mundane activities in his home. But he will lament and sometimes cry that I can't come to the masjid currently. No more I can come to the masjid. No more I can read salat properly and put my head on the ground. I have to read salat on a chair. It pains him. Why? He has reached that stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cleansed his heart. And now he is finding that enjoyment, real enjoyment, in the place where Allah Rabbul Izzah has actually kept enjoyment. And that is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of pondering over these points. Respected friends and allies, we should make a habit. We should make a habit daily, at whatever time is convenient to us, whether it is we come early for the Faraz Salah, read our sunnats, and then meditate. Ponder over our lives. Ponder over how we are lacking and how we can improve our lives. Ponder over your general issues of your life and see how you can implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ponder over the words of advice that you heard in the bayan prior to that, or the words of advice that were shared to you on your phone screen. Somebody shared an inspirational message, a hadith, a dua. Ponder over those things and digest it. Today what happens? We are suffering from indigestion. Indigestion of information. There is so much that is being shared. It is just passing our eyes. It is just passing our gazes. We are not digesting it because we don't take our time to digest. We, in fact, the system is being created such that we are not given the time to even think properly. As soon as a person wakes up, he's looking at his screen. Sometimes he's in the toilet also and he can't leave his phone. The toilet used to be referred to as the think pot also sometimes. That there sometimes you had some time to think. There also you're not thinking. A person is in his car and is listening to something, or he's talking to people next to him. There is no time today for a person to even think for himself. And how strange and how ajeeb, how ironic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. Don't be like those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They forgot Allah, they never take out time to remember Allah. Then what was the punishment for people like that? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Allah made them forget themselves. That we filled our lives so much with everything else besides Allah, besides the commands of Allah, besides the dhikr of Allah. It's only entertainment and consuming content on our smartphones and, you know, meeting up with friends and having fun and partying, etc. So much of that, that we forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens as a result of this? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these people forget themselves. Then they got no time to even think for themselves that what is good for them. No, they are going with the flow like happens today. Majority of people that give in to the system of the cell phones and social media, etc., or a large portion of them are such that what they are doing is actually the result of what is happening on the screen. They are not thinking and making those decisions for themselves. We are going with the trend. We are falling and becoming victims of the hype around us. No, step out of that. Have a time every day when you step out of that and come into your own bubble. The bubble of reflection, the bubble of muraqabah. And take out, even if it is a few minutes, respected friends and allies, before going to sleep. Generally we advise our students, you know, you walk into the dormitory at that time, or before you fall asleep, we tell our children, before you sleep, think about the advice your parents gave you. To relate it to ourselves, think about the advice you heard in the bayan. And reflect on your life as well in general. Take out the time where you can now start thinking for yourself. Don't let others make those decisions for you in life. You know, we discourage the children in the home that don't run behind fashionable brands and don't, you know, follow the trends that are happening. Why? Ultimately, you are allowing somebody else to rule your life. You're only wearing that particular brand because you saw somebody wearing it, because they are advertising it and somebody shared it on Instagram or WhatsApp or whatever it may be. And because you want to be like them, you are doing it. You're not making the decision for yourself. You're doing it because you want to be part of them. No, you must make the decision and weigh and do what makes you happy. Don't let them decide your life for you. This is then the result of فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Then you have forgotten yourself. You haven't thought what are your needs. But rather you are going with the flow. You are going with the hype. And you are following the trends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That is actually a adab and a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a man can't take out time to even think for himself. So let us take out time and make muraqabah and ponder over these points. If you are engaged in any sin, or if you are going to bed at night, coming back to the original topic of tonight, if you are going to bed at night engaging in haram, if the last thing we are doing is looking at haram, listening to haram, or even something that is vain and futile, may not necessarily be haram, it's a waste of time, then let us stop that. Let us stop it completely. Don't do it obviously at any time during the day or night, as far as possible. But at least at that time, the last moments before we close our eyes to go to bed, at that time let it be that we close our eyes on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's no guarantee we're going to open the eyes again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding and practicing. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. وإليك يرجع الأمر كله وعلانيته وسره. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة ترضيك وترضيه وترضى بها عنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد مفتاح خزائن رحمتك. اللهم افتح لنا بسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أغلق علينا من خير الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا وطهر قلوبنا وحصن فروجنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أقبل بقلوبنا إلى دينك، واحفظ من وراءنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إنا نسألك تمام النعمة ودوام العافية وحسن الخاتمة. رب يا أرحم الراحمين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا الله forgive all our sins يا أرحم الراحمين. Ya Allah, forgive our minor and major sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, from head to toe we are filled with sin, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, at almost every juncture, every temptation that presented itself in front of us, Ya Allah, we became victim to that. Ya Allah, whenever the opportunity of sin came in front of us, we took the opportunity, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Sometimes in the broad daylight, Ya Allah. Sometimes in the open eye in the public, Ya Allah. Sometimes in the darkness of the night, Ya Allah. Sometimes in secrecy, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, we have committed minor sins, Ya Allah, and we have committed major sins, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Dal Jalali wal Ikram. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you have mentioned and you have said, Ya Allah, that no matter how much sin it may be, if a person comes back to me asking my forgiveness, then I will forgive him and it will not bother me, wala ubali. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. It makes no difference to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents and our wives and children, Ya Allah. Forgive all our relatives, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And all those that have any ta'alluq with us and relationship with us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And all those that have done any good to us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, and forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of doing those deeds that will bring about your mercy, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Your forgiveness, Ya Allah, Ya Rahmat, and your barakat, Ya Dal Jalal wal Ikram. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of implementing the sunnahs of bedtime, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Let it be that when we are going to bed every night, Ya Allah, we are doing so in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, let the last thing that we do at night be an act of obedience to you, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. And ultimately, let that be the last act that we do. The act of obedience before we leave this dunya. Ya Allah, let the kalima shahada la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah be on our tongues, Ya Allah. And let us be engaged in your obedience, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Hadal Jalali wal Ikram. Protect us from your adab, Ya Allah, in this dunya, qabr and akhirat. Ya Allah, alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, remove the suffering of our brothers that are suffering throughout the dunya, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant them complete salvation from their difficulties and problems. Ya Allah, grant them afiyat, grant us afiyat, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, those among us, or among the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that have any suffering, any difficulty, any problem, any need, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you alleviate and remove the suffering. Ya Allah, fulfill our needs, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you know our needs better than ourselves, Ya Allah. Fulfill all our needs of this dunya and akhirat, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant shifa to those that are ill. Ya Allah, forgive those that have passed away. Ya Allah, fulfill the jaiz hajat and tamanniyat of all of us sitting here, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, make it easy for us, Ya Dal Jalali wal Ikram, to come closer and closer to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let tonight be a night of decision in our lives. Ya Allah, let tonight be our night of Furqan, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, where you will make this decision of now making us separate from our lives of sin and detach ourselves from sin and your disobedience, Ya Allah. And let it be a night where we will turn and come back to you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, and where you will accept us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, we are totally unworthy, Ya Allah. We are completely unworthy, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. But through your fadl and your karam, through your grace, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, and your generosity, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Tu chahe hame hai karam aapka, warna hum to chahne ke bhi qabil nahi. Oh Allah, if you choose to accept us, then this will be your favor upon us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Otherwise, we are totally not worth being accepted in your court, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us obedient children, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant them good spouses, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, and make them good spouses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us all and our children and our progenies and our wives and families, Ya Allah, good health, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, save us from killer diseases and chronic illnesses, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, save us from falling into debt, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Those of us that are in debt, Ya Allah, make it easy for us to repay our debts, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, save us from the temptations of shaitan and the traps of shaitan, Ya Allah. Save us from the fitna of wealth, the fitna of the dunya, the fitna of woman, the fitna of zina, and the fitna of riba. Ya Allah, and all the other fitnas and sins that are raining down in our communities, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Save us and protect us and protect our wives and children, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, give us a life of contentment in your obedience, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Make us from your chosen slaves, Ya Allah. Make us from the pious bondsmen, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, grant us an attachment to your house and to your masjid. Grant us an attachment to your awliya and your chosen slaves. Grant us an attachment and a close ta'alluq with ulama'i haq, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, and accept us for the khidmat of your deen throughout our lives and till our final moments, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.